Retro reels.
Coming at you. Welcome to reels. Oh, forget it.
Just So Jables.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Just So Jables film podcast with me, Jables.
And me, our kid.
And me, producer Ben.
This week, it's
Retro Reels.
And our kid, what are we watching for Retro Reels this
week? We're watching Labyrinth.
Well, if you're a usual listener to the podcast, you probably know that we watch a new film and give you our hot takes. Retro Reels is slightly different, where we watch an old film and stick it on at the Corn Exchange in King's Lynn and talk about it lots. So, our kid, Labyrinth, what do we know? Tell us your thoughts about Labyrinth.
Well, I can give you a little bit of factual information.
Okay.
And then we can move on to our personal experiences after that, if you like.
Yeah, go on.
So, directed by Jim Henson of the Muppets fame.
Yeah.
Produced by George Lucas, which I didn't actually realise until today.
What's he known
for? Of Star Wars fame.
Star Wars fame, yeah.
Starring David Bowie of David Bowie fame.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Connelly of various films since, including Dark Water, Beautiful Mind, and Top Gun Maverick more recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also starring Toby Froud as Toby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the kid.
Now, here's a little bit of interesting information for you. The visuals of the film, which, if you've seen it, you will be very familiar with that particular style, was based on concepts by Brian Froud, who wrote the 1978 fairy books and was also involved with The Dark Crystal.
Okay.
So Toby was his son in real life, which I think is quite sweet. I didn't realise until I was looking it up today.
I think I did know that, but then I keep forgetting it and then re-remembering it. It's just how my mind works.
Yeah.
I can't remember a Froud. It's my Achilles heel.
You don't remember the Book of Fairies?
I do remember the Book of Fairies. Yeah.
So a little bit more factual information. It had a mixed response when it came out. The critics weren't massively kind. Not everybody hated it, but generally people were a bit about it. Low box office, apparently, but it is now considered a cult classic and was reevaluated after Jim Henson died in the year 2000.
It's a weird thing to reevaluate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they were looking at his back catalogue and going, oh, okay, yeah, Labyrinth. Remember Labyrinth? That was pretty good. He was apparently very depressed by the response to Labyrinth at the time.
Right.
Yes, but there's since been lots of books, games, comics, etc. based in the Labyrinth world. I remember being in a bookshop and finding a manga about Toby as a grown-up going back defend the goblin world. It was written as if he was the heir to the goblin kingdom. Mm. So yeah, lots of cool stuff. Any more facts you want to throw in?
No more facts at this point.
I've got tons of facts.
Go on.
I got facts after facts. I do know that, I can't remember, I was listening to this on some other podcast, I think. So Terry Jones done the original screenplay, the original script and story for it. But it was seen as quite a dark, he wanted more of a dark take, more of a dark fairy tale kind of story, didn't he?
That's his style, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think Jim Henson, when he was involved, I think Jim Henson and the story wanted a bit more of a family-friendly approach, a bit more broader appeal. Terry Jones didn't want to move on that. But I think it was kind of rewritten behind his back.
Ooh.
And I think this is how it is. But when they started filming, they realised they were using the other script. And Terry Jones wasn't happy, but he basically went along with it and actually started contributing. He ended up being more involved. And I think it kind of works because of it. I think you've got to have a darkness to any kind of fairy tale, because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a story.
It's just fluff, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, I haven't seen it lots. It was kind of in our staple of films, but it wasn't high up there, was it? It wasn't one that we watched a lot.
We didn't have the video or anything like that. We since got the DVD.
So it's fair to say, because when we were picking this one for Retro Reels, it wasn't necessarily your top choice, was it, James?
Oh, no, not at all.
Kind of got overruled.
I did. We went to a vote and I got outvoted. But
only minorly.
Only minorly. And I'm not bitter about it. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
just think of the money, James.
I know. Yeah. But as I think I said last week when we were on the show, literally everyone I've spoken to about it, the response has been, ooh, Labyrinth.
Yeah.
We're going to, ooh. And it's a sellout. So that's going to be good. So it's obviously going to be a good crowd of people in. Everyone's going to be enjoying it. I'm looking forward to watching it again. And I think it's one of those films that because of the style of film, I mean, it may seem a little bit dated in the early parts where you've got, is she the babysitter or brother?
Half-sister.
Yeah. You know, it starts in an 80s home. But I think it's going to be quite a timeless-looking film because there's something about practical effects that you don't get with dodgy CGI or just definitely. CGI. Even good CGI eventually starts looking old-fashioned. So when you've got practical effects and puppets and the mixing real people with puppets, well, like the Muppets, it looks really good and it keeps its look. I know a friend of the podcast, Barney's going to be there and he's bringing Jensen with him, his son. So it'll be quite interesting to see.
Can I tell you something?
What's that?
Last time I saw Jensen, he was a baby and he was wearing a red and white stripy baby grow, just like Toby. So it'll be very interesting to see him as a grown-up now.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. Yeah. You have no power over him though. So I am looking forward to watching it again. I'm particularly looking forward to watching it on big screen. Like I said, I'm not anti the film. It just wasn't my first choice. But So what else do we know about the film?
Okay, I've seen the film several times, obviously. Probably like you, it was not quite squarely in the canon of films to watch and rewatch as a kid. But I probably did watch it like two or three times back in period, so to speak. I really like it because, like you say, Jables, of the practical effects and going back to like the Brian Froud fairies book. I love all that stuff and all the detail. I think you're going to see a lot of evidence of like, would you call them like model makers, puppeteers? I'm not sure what the technical term is. So there's going to be a lot of that to look at.
You've also got the Escher influence as well, haven't you? So, which I know you probably quite like from the set designs and the artwork in general, just the certain set pieces. You know, you've got Hall of Stairs and things like that, haven't you? Mm. Which are very much...
I really like that type of world building that it's got. I love The Dark Crystal, the series that was on Netflix a couple of years ago, Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. That was amazing. I'm so sad that didn't get a second series. It totally did. Hup. So, it appeals to people, doesn't it? I don't quite know what it is because we like those fantasy worlds and we can see that they're puppets and they're not real, but there's something about it that we warm to, don't we?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Hoggle again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the little caterpillar guy called at the beginning?
Yeah,
it's
directions so weird.
And stuff, yeah.
But yeah, obviously David Bowie's really good in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looks like he gets into stuff. I mean, he's quite method, isn't he, when he actually gets round to acting. He seems to immerse himself in characters.
It was such good casting,
wasn't it?
I don't think he's the most amazing actor in the world, but there's just something about his presence in anything that just makes it cooler.
I can't remember. I'll have to look it up, but there was someone else who was going to be doing it, and they wanted a singer rather than a...
A singer who can act rather than an actor who can sing.
Yeah, but I don't think Terry Jones wanted that. So... Yeah, but no, he's really good. And the songs are great.
Yeah, they're really fun, aren't they? I wonder if there'll be any singing along.
Yeah, probably. Ben's in nightmare world
right now. I hope we all just sit quietly and watch the film. Don't want to have to shush anyone, do I?
No.
No, not again, Ben. So the soundtrack was Trevor Jones, who largely done the overall kind of soundtrack of the film. But David Bowie did... Presume I'm right in saying he did write the songs that he sings on, or?
I think it'd be weird if you got David Bowie in and he didn't do that.
Definitely. Dance, Magic, Dance.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit Queen doing the soundtrack for Highlander.
Yeah.
Where you've got some song titles that are just like song title and then we'll put a couple of maybe resembled lyrics.
Yeah.
But then, you know, saying that, you've got Dance, Magic, Dance, which is talking about the... Reminded me of the Babe. So, you know, so we watched, I think we said in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, we originally saw this in Norwich, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
So we did see it in the cinema first time round. Looking forward to watching it again on the big screen. I haven't got much else to say apart from,
Did I tell the story of what happened in the car on the way back
you did,
from Labyrinth?
But it might
did
be
I?
Worth
Shall
saying
I
it again.
Shall I retell it? On that particular occasion driving back, the main thing I remember about that journey is Jables saying... Hey, does everyone know that the word gullible's been taken out of the dictionary?
Oh,
and Mum going, really?
Yeah.
And we all laughed except Mum, who was like, whoop, that's an outrage.
Yeah.
So
she's still angry about it.
Yeah, that's where the comedy started. Yeah.
Good times.
I can't remember that. It rings sort of like it's an echo in my head somewhere.
There were so many conversations like that.
Yeah, probably.
Just mixed in there with the others.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to take some tissues because it does get a little weepy and sad at the end.
Well, the thing about this film, I think, is the story is actually quite straightforward, isn't it? So for me, it's going to be all about the combination of the music and the effects and the puppets and things like that, because I just love all that stuff.
Cool.
Looking forward to it.
Right. Well, let's go slap that baby and make him pee.
So weird.
That is weird.
And we're back from the Corn Exchange, having just watched a successful Labyrinth.
Mm.
Did we do story beforehand? I can't remember.
No, I don't think we primed it to say what happens at the start and how it kicks off, to be fair.
So who wants to do a little synopsis then?
I'll do a little synopsis. Sarah's at home, has angst with her stepmother because... Is it her mum who's in the pictures that she has around the...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and she obviously misses her mum, hasn't taken to her stepmum, has lots of teenage angst, but kind of 80s teenage angst, where it's like, I hate you too. Why? I don't really know, it's just I hate you. And has to babysit, and while they're out, she wishes Toby, her annoying, loud little brother, is taken away by the Goblin King. Half-brother?
Yeah. Half-brother, yeah. Yeah.
And it happens. The goblins are listening and take him away. And then David Bowie pops up, package in tail.
Barney was obsessed.
Barney was sat on the front row.
With so David Bowie's groin.
Barney had it in probably what looked about 2 foot in front of his face for portions of the film. So I'm kind of not surprised about that. David Bowie tells Sarah that she can get him back, but he's going to get turned into a goblin. That's what she wanted, and now she doesn't want it. And she can get him back if she gets to the Goblin City and rescues him within 13 hours. And then she enters the labyrinth, and all hell breaks loose. That's just like the setup for the whole story, but we'll be talking about everything. Our kid, go on.
I think, first of all, touching on what you said about
touching on that. Oh, that. Okay.
What you said about being in the cinema. It was nice vibes.
It
was a full house.
Yep.
But everybody seemed very chill, kind of looking forward to it, excited. There was a lot of range in the audience. There were a couple of younger kids, a couple of older people, and sort of lots and lots of people in between. So that was nice. There were no technical issues. That was also good.
Which was good, yeah.
Yep. And a few people came to have a chat to us about what they want to see next. In terms of the film, it was really good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was good. Everyone seemed to really enjoy it. It was a little bit slower than I remember.
Yeah.
The pace and the conversations and everything, if it was made today, would have been rattled through very, very quickly. So the bit at the beginning when the Goblin King appears and tells Sarah what's happening, it's quite a long, normal style conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas if they made it now, it would be action-packed. It would, it would be very snappy and peppy. But I think that that added a sort of quaintness to it.
Yeah.
A sort of quirkiness that I really enjoyed. What did you think?
Well, general instant reaction. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. Because slight revelation, Jables, like it wasn't your first choice for this round. And it wasn't necessarily my first choice either, but I thought it would be very popular and I was proven right. But then I watched it and I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to enjoy it. I mean, it's one of those where, in terms of actual story, not that much happens, really. I know I say that a lot, but not that. I mean, it's basically a quest, isn't it? There's a setup and then it's followed by a quest, and the quest is populated with various zany characters. So the enjoyment of it for me is in the way that they do it. So it's about the puppets and the sets and the models and the quirky characters and things like that. Not all of them make sense.
No.
I'm sure we'll get onto that in a bit. And I'm sure you've got a few things to say, Jables, because it's like not quite your natural territory. And there might have been a few things that irritated you. But yeah, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I can see the flaws and we'll come onto those. But yeah, that's my instant reaction at the moment.
Yeah. I think going on what you said, if this was made today, it would be made differently. I think on that, there would be more explanation and exposition at the start, because you literally go from Sarah in the bedroom talking to David Bowie to then having to walk down a hill to get into the labyrinth.
Yeah.
There'd be more of a mystical kind of change, or you have to go here to do this, and it's around you all the time. It's literally she's in a house and then she opens the back door and then she can see the Goblin Castle. But I guess there's that. It also plays into some themes that I'll probably come on to later about whether this is all happening in Sarah's mind, which I think it kind of is.
Yeah.
Or is it?
It is allegorical, isn't it? So it's a coming of age thing. It's about her growing up. So while Ben says yes, not a lot does happen, she develops quite a lot,
doesn't she?
So she goes from being quite a petulant kid who wants everything her own way. She doesn't want to babysit, even though she's not going anywhere, typical teenage sort of thing, to coming on to realise that actually Toby is more important than all the little toys and things that she loves, even though they are still kind of important because they're part of her life. And I think one of the things I noticed the most in seeing it on the big screen was all the little details of her room. You could see very clearly. So everything that she meets in the labyrinth is represented in a really small way in her room. And you can really see how that plays out. And I even noticed, you know, there's pictures around her mirror.
Yeah.
There's photographs of what's her, obviously her mum, and then pictures of someone on the stage. She's obviously into theatre and the stage. And I'm sure there's a photograph of David Bowie in there as well, which I thought was really nice because I know there's a model of Jareth, the Goblin King, but it just seemed like a really nice little tie-in. Yeah, I'd say it's one of those films where maybe it's in her head, maybe it's real, does it matter? Yeah, not really.
Yeah. I'll come on to that. I've got more to discuss on that. I've got two theories
that I'll get
back to later. In terms of the film, I enjoyed it and I said I wanted to see it on the big screen. I did like it. It's not a blow-me-away film. I really enjoyed going and the experience and seeing it on the big screen. And what I found is, what, like you said, on the big screen, not just her room, but I saw a couple of things that I'd never noticed before. And you wouldn't really notice on an 80s TV or at that age, but also on a TV when you watch it on VHS. Things like when they, you know, it's near the end of the film, they do the whole quest and they get to they go through the Goblin City and get to the Goblin Castle, Goblin King's Castle. And by the front door, there's two little small bottles of milk.
Milk bottles.
We're just like, what?
We both went weird.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of little touches like that. There's a lot of Terry Jones influence in the script. We spoke about how some of the story may have been changed because of that, but definitely in the script. Just little things we said about the caterpillar, who's just awesome at the start. Just like the way. But there's loads of little characters that actually, and I didn't really realise, who just kind of pop up and are just like, well, we don't know what we're doing, that sort of thing.
It's just that kind of absurdist humour, isn't it? Yeah,
absolutely. This doesn't make any sense kind of thing. And, you know, they're sort of saying it themselves, which I really liked. I enjoyed that. And I think you probably enjoy that more as an adult watching back on stuff. I was also surprised watching the film as a kid. David Bowie was like ancient at those times. And Jennifer Connelly seemed old then when we first saw it. And now it's like, you know, it's the other way around. Like, I know that's what aging does, but Jennifer Connelly looks so young in it.
Yeah.
Like, weirdly. So I'm just like, wow. And then you suddenly go, David Bowie's quite a bit older. But we won't.
Yeah, we'll gloss over that.
We'll brush past that.
Yeah. But then I think that's part of it, isn't it? I think that's supposed to be slightly uncomfortable.
Well, I think so, yeah. Because there's, I mean, you might, we'll come to your theories in a bit, Jables. But the whole thing of running through it is like growing up, isn't it? Yeah. So he's the Goblin King because he refuses to grow up. I mean, like, you don't really notice it when you're a kid because everyone looks old.
Yeah.
Even 16-year-olds look old when you're a kid. But then looking at it now, a bit older, it's like, well, obviously, I think the makers intended, like, David Bowie is intentionally, what, is he about 40?
Yeah,
when this was made?
Late 30s, early 40s.
I think it's that kind of slightly Peter Pan-ish, you know, why won't he grow up? He's just hanging out with goblins. He's actually in his 40s. This is a bit weird. And I think they know that's the case and they just let it run.
Yeah, because that's part of the thing, isn't it? The girl wanting that romanticized thing that is childish, but seems grown up at the time. And it's coming to terms with all of that, that this romantic figure isn't actually something that you want, really.
No,
you know?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
We've all been there. We've all danced with the Goblin King, us girls.
Have
definitely.
You? Okay. I would also say it's very 80s. And we were saying before about how it's not the house, it's not the setting, it's the soundtrack. It's how some of the effects work, because the practical stuff is all great. The models are all fantastic. I don't know I don't know if it's camera work or just like literally the cameras things are used on. It had a bit of an 80s sheen that on the big screen, there were bits that look amazing. You could look off into the distance and looked awesome. And there were some bits I noticed in the labyrinth where the long stretches where she was walking along, you can almost see where it turns into a picture at the back. And it's a bit of a shame because, like, on the small screen, there's no way you'd notice that. But on the big screen, when you're watching it like that, and especially, like, it would have looked better now than it would have done it originally. So you kind of go, oh, yeah. The CGI owl, you can tell that's like someone at some point has gone, hey, this will be great. Mm. We can do a CGI out. And it would have looked, and people would have been blown away. I remember like, wow, look, it looks so real. And then there's stuff like that that can age a film.
Yeah. And the dancing, are they called fieries?
Yeah.
The dancing head thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the humour of it's funny, though that's my head thing still makes me laugh. Yeah. But the green screen looked really bad. Didn't it?
Yeah. I remember I never really liked the fieries.
No,
when
I didn't.
Watched this back in period. I was like, they don't make sense. They're just a bit goofy.
I thought they were a little bit scary, actually.
Oh, really?
So, I thought they worked.
I was always more scared by the when she lands in the trash heap.
Oh, yeah.
With the old woman. It's not necessarily the old woman. It's just like the way she suddenly gets pulled into this whole scenario and then opens the door and she's still there and starts piling stuff on top of her. And I always remember that just being a bit like, it's a bit creepy.
It's very psychological.
Yeah, it
that,
is. Yeah, it's cool. It's really, those bits are really good. And I think that's where it does work with practical stuff. The puppet stuff is actually really good.
You could see a few strings from time to time.
That works really well. Apart from, it seems, when they're moving between scenes. So like a bit with the fieries, you know, when she's running away from them, they just kind of keep popping up in front of her at the side of screens because you know someone's like, okay, she's running through. So like, you lift up now to make it seem like something's running after you, but they're not. They're just like popping up next to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they're magical. And it's not just that. It happens with Sir Didymus. The same thing happens. He pops up next to people a couple of times. But I really love it when he's on the dog. And I love how it swaps
it's
between
so funny.
A puppet on a dog bouncing around, shaking around. Yeah.
On a real dog.
Yeah.
Then it flips to the puppet on top of a fake dog. Like, look, shivering. And it just... And I like that. Even though it's still cool. It's still like...
Yeah, it's really funny.
So those bits... It's almost like the bits where they're trying... Are the worst bits. The bits when they're going, right, we can make this look super real and, oh, we do this. Yeah. And then the bits where they're not too bothered, it's like, oh, we just have to do this. They're cool. They work better.
Yeah. The bits I like the most are where there's a scene where she's being chased by this big metal thing with knives and then there's this great big metal robot.
Yeah.
Both times you find out are just being moved about by goblins.
Yeah.
They're just little sort of mechanical things with little goblins going, oh, what are you doing? kind of thing. It's really funny. I love that.
I really like the bit, you know, when she meets the caterpillar and, you know, he says, oh, over there, the wall. And I was watching it thinking, oh, it's going to be a really bad CGI, puts your hands through. And she doesn't. It's just how it's shot perfectly, seamlessly. We're walking through. I'm like, wow, that just looks cool.
Yeah,
it's just well done.
Yeah.
It's a weird mix of excellent to awful looking, I think.
Yeah.
For me. So, yeah. What about you? What else have you got?
I've got a couple of reviews, actually,
really?
To read you that we had through from Facebook.
Oh, nice.
Hello.
Mum
okay.
said, a really good evening. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Dad said, and this is constructive but also funny, I'd forgotten all about it since last seen in 87. Ahead of its time in terms of visual entertainment, the girl was a bit wooden, though.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
He said that in the car on the way back.
Classic dad.
Yeah.
To be fair to her... I think acting alongside puppets and animatronics was quite new at the time. So I think she did a good enough job.
Yeah, I think certainly on that scale, for sure. What else have you got to add, Ben, before you get back to me and my theories?
What have I got to add? I mean, it's the same thing. I just love the setting of it, like the concept of the labyrinth, all the little details, the model making, all that kind of stuff that just brings it alive. And I think it's just to say, you wouldn't really get a film like that. I say that. Obviously, we've had like Dark Crystal... Age of Resistance, which is similar-ish in the way it's done and practical effects and things. But it's just like, if they were making Labyrinth now, it would all be CGI, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's fair to say.
Mm. It'd be a worse film for it as well.
Yeah, so it was interesting, though, that mix, because like you said, the owl at the start and the end, it was really, kind of takes you out of it a bit, doesn't it? It's like, why did they do that? And I was trying to put myself back into like mid-80s mode and think, what would I have thought at the time? And maybe I would have thought it looked quite impressive. But then I'm thinking, nah, I wouldn't have been fooled by that. It just looked a bit rubbish. And I'm not quite sure why they did it they had all that puppetry and that puppetry expertise and model making.
I wonder if it might have looked different. Because obviously we're watching a digital copy of a 30mm or whatever type of film it is. And I wonder if the CGI overlaid onto film may have looked better than it did digitally, because if you notice, it was quite jerky, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was very jerky, and I wonder if that's part of the digital processing. Should I wonder if some of that is lost in that?
Yeah,
maybe
possibly. Yeah,
yeah.
In terms of story and characters and stuff, I still love all that stuff. Like I said, not all of it makes sense. The Fieries, I could kind of take or leave a bit. But like Hoggle, it's interesting. Ludo. Like all the characters in this, they're not, I would say, like Disney-fied. So like, if you had a modern version, they'd all be like super peppy and like jokey and quirky and like riffing off each other. There's a slight sadness that runs through all the characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're quite flawed in places. Yeah.
Even right from the start, when Sarah first enters the labyrinth and there's the worm, even the worm's a little bit, it's like, is the worm lonely? Because he's like, oh, come and meet the wife and have a cup of tea. Firstly, like, logistically, how would that work? Because he lives in a wall. But it's like, yeah, straight away, it's like, there's a sort of sadness to the whole labyrinth. I'm just, trying to compare it to how a film like that would be made now. It would all be like hyper buzzy, jumpy, quirky characters, and it wouldn't have that edge to it, I don't think.
But it doesn't explain anything either, does it? So I think now there'd have to be much more explanation.
That's what I'm saying,
When Sarah meets Hoggle, he says, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the introduction they get. And that's fine. You don't even question it, do you? Because there's something weird about it, but it also seems to make sense given the weirdness of everything that's going on. Yeah. But I don't think that would happen now. I think she'd have to convince him of who she was or something like that.
Other stuff, I'll say something about the ending, but I'll leave that for a bit because I'll wait for the theories first from Jables. Probably need to talk about the music a little bit. I know we talked about it before. Mm. It kind of mostly works quite well.
Yeah.
It's not amazing, I wouldn't say. There's a couple of fun bits.
Good, really, really good, strong songs.
Mm. Yeah, and there's quite a lot, I think, of good, like, I don't know if you call it like incidental or background, like filler things, which are a little bit, obviously, very 80s, but also a little bit edgy as well.
Yeah.
So I'd kind of forgotten that.
But like, then sometimes it goes 80s.
Then it just goes before 80s. There's a slight mixed bag element to it, but Yeah, so that's my thoughts at the minute. But as I say, I've got something to say about the ending. I'd forgotten that has always confused me a little bit, but we'll wait for the theories.
Okay, a couple of theories or things that popped into or I thought of. Obviously, there's that idea that we said about the whole thing is all in Sarah's mind. So there's that thinking of actually you're seeing just a story playing out in a teenager's mind who's going through issues and trying to resolve them in this. There's the flip side of it, which I've thought about. When I was pondering it, is that actually she's still stuck in the labyrinth at the end because you don't see her parents afterwards. You just hear them talking and then all the characters are still there.
Yeah.
So could be that she hasn't actually grown. She's actually staying in there with them forever. There you go.
That's not my view of it.
That's
sure. that.
It's a possibility. Or the other is that she's in a coma.
She's in a coma.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
I thought she might have slipped on the way back to the house when in the rain. Or she's been kidnapped, like, by someone. And, she never made it home.
Sarah's ladder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there you go. That's my thoughts on it.
See,
it's so ambiguous that it literally could be any of those.
I don't think it is ambiguous, really. I think it's that she's home and she's grown up, but now and again she can still be nostalgic and live in the past a little bit. She's kind of allowed to do that, and that's when she parties with her little friends, but that's not her real life now.
I think that's probably what the intention is, but I'm a little bit with Jables on theory two.
You like because, it?
What, because, the coma theory?
No, that's theory three. She's still in a labyrinth because... You go through all this stuff and it's like growing up, taking things seriously, accepting responsibility, getting over yourself, getting past all the childish things that you held on to as a kid. And then in the last 2 minutes, they just undo it all. And they're like, oh, surprise, we're actually still here in your cupboard.
But that's I can still see you from time to time, can't I? And they're like, yeah, of course you can. You can see us now.
Yeah, but the timing's weird because it's like, it's literally a few seconds where she's grown up. And then it's like, but you could still see us again. And she's like, okay, I will immediately. See you again, and everyone comes back in. So I've kind of forgotten that, and rewatching it, I was like, oh yeah, the ending is odd. What are they trying to tell us? Because they've taken us through this arc of the quest and the accepting responsibility and realizing that you can actually do things and you can actually have agency and all that kind of all the classic quest stuff, and then it just suddenly gets undone in the last.
I don't know if it's
undone.
I think it's just that you can grow up but still have your memories and your past, and it's still part of you.
Yeah. No, I think she's still in the labyrinth.
Yeah, the parents aren't there.
No, you're wrong. Both of you.
Anything else to add?
No, that's me.
No, I don't think so.
Ratings? Do you want to give it a rating? Do we give it a rating?
It's a labyrinth. Yeah, I don't really know.
I've got a rating.
What's your rating?
Well, I'm going to say it's amazing.
Oh, God. Wow. Yeah. I like it.
Thank you.
I like it.
I'm not going to use a core scale. I don't think I generally do for retro reels, do I?
But maybe. If you did, it would obviously be that big metal thing chasing through the labyrinth.
The tunnel boring machine. Yeah. TBM. It makes no sense, though. So I know we've finished talking about the film now, but just quickly on the car / tunnel boring machine topic.
Yeah.
Why do they have that? So they've got a tunnel. Is that the machine they use to make new tunnels? Maybe it is. I'm getting a little bit literal.
I think you
two
are being too literal on the labyrinth.
Yeah. Well, let's just say it was a minor tour de force.
Oh.
Nice. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's even better than amazing.
Next week, Arcade, Ben, what's happening?
Some web stuff, webby.
Come on, Ben.
Lady Web. Lady
Web. Madame Web.
Madame Web.
Madame.
Madame Web.
Yeah.
Don't have high hopes.
Nor do I, but no. I want to watch it because I've watched every one of these films so far and dag nam it, are we going to keep watching them?
I'm going to have to bottom this out.
Yeah.
We don't quite know what the next Retro Reels is going to be, do we? So watch this space.
What did people say when they came to speak to you?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. We have had a big long list of, I think, every 80s film, pretty much. Princess Bride.
Someone shouted that at you in the cinema, didn't they?
Two people shouted it at me.
Did they?
Yeah.
It's a good call.
That's a good one, but I don't know if it's the one to follow directly after Labyrinth. No. We've also got Ghostbusters up our sleeve, but Ben's hankering for Aliens.
Yeah.
I want Aliens.
Yeah.
But do you want Aliens next at Easter time? Because that's when it'll be.
Well, they do come out of eggs.
Is that what the artwork's going to be? An Easter egg alien.
That would be brilliant. Yeah.
Maybe that then.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's thrash it out a bit more and people can keep an eye on the socials and see where we're going.
Nice one. What are those socials, Ben?
At Just So Jables on all the usual platforms. Not TikTok, though.
Or LinkedIn.
You can get us on. You can get me on LinkedIn if you want. I'm happy to interact. Forgotten Films. You can email us if you want. hello@justsojables.com. Or you can just head to justsojables.com.
Nice. Well, on that, see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye. Just So Jables.